In a world increasingly dominated by technology and social media, Dave Eggers' The Circle stands as a chilling prophecy. Published in 2013, this dystopian novel quickly became a cultural touchstone, with figures from Mark Zuckerberg to Elon Musk reportedly keeping copies on their nightstands. The book's exploration of privacy, technology, and corporate power resonated so deeply that it was adapted into a major film starring Emma Watson and Tom Hanks in 2017. What makes The Circle particularly unsettling is how its fictional tech company's innovations, once seeming far-fetched, now mirror our reality. As we navigate an era where personal data is currency and privacy feels increasingly optional, Eggers' cautionary tale continues to spark crucial conversations about the society we're building through our digital choices. The Circle is presented as the ultimate tech company, a gleaming campus built on former shipyard land with meticulous attention to architectural detail and inspirational messages laser-cut into walkways. The sprawling complex features everything from meditation rooms to health clinics, organic gardens to sports facilities, creating a self-contained world for its employees. It's the brainchild of the three wise men, visionary Tai Gospodinov, who created TrueU, a unified online identity system, charismatic public face Emin Bailey, and aggressive business mind Tom Stenton. Each brings distinct qualities that have shaped the company's culture. Gospodinov's technical brilliance, Bailey's evangelical warmth, and Stenton's ruthless business acumen. The company has revolutionized the internet by eliminating anonymity through TrueU, one account, one identity, one password for everything online. This innovation has seemingly solved problems of trolling, identity theft, and multiple passwords. Users can now make purchases, comment on articles, access services, and interact on social media through a single verified identity. The Circle's campus mirrors this utopian vision with its perfectly manicured grounds, state-of-the-art facilities, and communal atmosphere that blends work and social life seamlessly. Employees, known as Circlers, are encouraged to participate in countless social activities, from wine tastings to celebrity lectures, creating an environment where work and leisure become indistinguishable. But beneath this polished surface lies something more sinister. The Circle operates on principles of total transparency and connectivity that gradually reveal themselves as mechanisms of control. The company's reach extends far beyond typical tech boundaries. They're developing tiny cameras that can be placed anywhere, see change, tracking technology for children, health monitoring systems, and voting platforms. Each innovation is presented as a solution to real problems, preventing crime, protecting children, improving health outcomes, and increasing democratic participation. The sea change cameras, for instance, are marketed as tools for public safety and accountability, while their health monitoring systems promise early disease detection and improved longevity. What makes The Circle truly frightening isn't that it's a malevolent entity, but that its dystopian vision is built on seemingly positive ideals. Who could argue against preventing child abductions? Who wouldn't want to eliminate government corruption through transparency? The company's initiatives are introduced gradually, each building on the last, from voluntary social media participation to mandatory health tracking, from optional location sharing to required constant connectivity. The genius of The Circle, and the warning at the heart of Eggers' novel, is how easily noble intentions can pave the road to a surveillance state when taken to their logical extreme. The company's cheerful motto, "All that happens must be known," transforms gradually from an inspiring mission statement into a terrifying mandate for universal surveillance, supported by an army of true believers who genuinely think they're making the world better. Through subtle manipulation and social pressure, privacy becomes synonymous with secrecy, and secrecy with criminality, until the very concept of personal space becomes suspect. May Holland arrives at The Circle with the wide-eyed enthusiasm of someone who's just won the career lottery. Having escaped a dead-end job processing utility payments in her small Central Valley hometown, she views her entry-level position in customer experience as nothing short of salvation. Her previous work environment, with its fluorescent lights and outdated computers, stands in stark contrast to the Circle's gleaming campus, with its transparent architecture and cutting-edge technology. May represents the perfect vessel for the Circle's ideology, intelligent but somewhat insecure, ambitious yet eager to please, and most importantly, lacking the critical perspective to question the company's trajectory. Her transformation throughout the novel is both subtle and profound, unfolding through a series of carefully orchestrated steps. Initially, May struggles with the Circle's expectations for constant social media engagement and participation in company events. She values her private time, particularly her solitary kayaking trips that provide escape from the digital world. During these early moments, she still maintains boundaries between her professional and personal life, often letting messages go unanswered and missing optional social gatherings. Yet gradually, she internalizes the company's philosophy that privacy is theft and secrets are lies. Her resistance erodes not through coercion, but through a sophisticated combination of peer pressure, gamification of work metrics, and the intoxicating feeling of being valued and seen. What makes May's journey so unsettling is its plausibility in our contemporary digital landscape. Her indoctrination happens through small compromises that individually seem reasonable and even beneficial. When she fails to attend a colleague's Portugal-themed party and is reprimanded for it, the expectation to participate in company social events seems merely like typical corporate culture. When she's criticized for not sharing her kayaking experiences online, the argument that she's depriving others of beautiful experiences sounds almost altruistic. Her participation scores, social rankings, and influence metrics become an addictive validation of her worth. By the time she voluntarily goes transparent, wearing a camera broadcasting her every moment to millions, she has fully embraced the Circle's ideology, believing herself to be part of a grand mission to make the world better through absolute transparency. May's relationship with her parents and ex-boyfriend Mercer serves as a crucial counterpoint to her Circle journey, highlighting everything she leaves behind. Her parents, particularly her father, who suffers from multiple sclerosis, represent the human cost of the surveillance state. When cameras are installed in their home to monitor her father's health, the initial benefits are overshadowed by the loss of dignity and privacy, forcing them to live under constant observation during their most vulnerable moments. Similarly, Mercer, who runs an antique chandelier restoration business and represents a more analog way of life, makes increasingly desperate pleas for May to recognize the dangers of the Circle. His arguments about the value of privacy and the importance of disconnecting fall on deaf ears, ultimately leading to his tragic end in a high-speed chase, pursued by the Circle's drones. Through these relationships, Eggers shows what May sacrifices on her path to becoming the Circle's perfect ambassador: her humanity, her connections to the physical world, and her ability to exist outside the digital sphere. The Circle system of control operates through three interlocking mechanisms: quantification of human experience, constant surveillance, and intense social pressure. Together, these create an environment where conformity feels like choice and resistance seems irrational. At her workstation, May monitors multiple screens tracking her customer satisfaction scores, response times, and social media engagement. These metrics are publicly ranked, creating constant competitive pressure. The genius of this system is how it gamifies work performance. May becomes obsessed with improving her numbers, checking her rankings compulsively, and feeling genuine distress when they drop. This quantification extends beyond work to all aspects of life at the Circle. Social interactions are measured through smiles and frowns, health is tracked through wristbands monitoring vital signs, and even emotions become data points to be analyzed. Surveillance at the Circle begins voluntarily, but gradually becomes mandatory. Sea change cameras, initially pitched as tools for transparency in government or preventing crime, proliferate until they cover every inch of the Circle campus and beyond. May's decision to go transparent by wearing a camera represents the culmination of this surveillance culture. She becomes both subject and enforcer of the all-seeing eye. What makes this particularly insidious is how surveillance is framed as a moral good. "privacy is theft" becomes a rallying cry, suggesting that keeping any experience to yourself is selfish. Perhaps most powerful is the social pressure that enforces compliance. When May fails to respond to social media invitations or misses company events, she faces not formal discipline, but disappointed colleagues questioning her commitment. The circle creates a culture where participation is mandatory but presented as voluntary. The campus design itself facilitates this by blurring boundaries between work and leisure. Why would anyone want to leave when everything they need is provided? This creates a closed ecosystem where outside perspectives become increasingly alien and threatening. The brilliance of this control system is how it makes people complicit in their own oppression. May doesn't feel controlled, she feels empowered. She believes she's making choices when in reality, the architecture of the system has narrowed her options until only one path seems reasonable. This is the most chilling aspect of Egger's vision. Not that we might be controlled by technology, but that we might welcome it. The Circle's philosophy crystallizes around three principles that May articulates during her interview with Bailey. Secrets are lies, sharing is caring, and privacy is theft. These slogans represent the ideological foundation of the Circle's mission to create a world without privacy. The notion that secrets are lies fundamentally reframes privacy as deception. In the Circle's worldview, anything hidden is inherently suspicious. This ideology gains power because it contains a kernel of truth. Secrecy can indeed enable corruption, abuse, and wrongdoing. Bailey masterfully exploits this by highlighting cases where transparency could prevent harm. Politicians making backroom deals, criminals operating in shadows, or abusers protected by institutional silence. By focusing exclusively on the negative potential of privacy, the Circle creates a false binary, either total transparency or complicity with evil. Sharing is caring transforms privacy from a right into selfishness. When May confesses to kayaking alone without documenting the experience, Bailey doesn't scold her, but instead makes her feel guilty by invoking his son Gunnar, who has cerebral palsy and relies on others' shared experiences to see the world. This emotional manipulation frames May's desire for solitude as depriving others of beauty and experience. The Circle cleverly repositions privacy as privilege, something only the selfish would insist upon when sharing could benefit others. The final principle, privacy is theft, completes the ideological framework by recasting privacy as active harm rather than passive selfishness. By keeping experiences private, the Circle argues, you are stealing potential knowledge from humanity. This principle extends the company's reach into the most intimate aspects of human experience, making even thoughts and feelings subject to the mandate of transparency. What makes this ideology so powerful is how it co-opts genuine values, honesty, compassion, generosity, and warps them into tools of control. Most people want to be honest, to help others, to contribute to society. The Circle exploits these noble impulses by suggesting that the only way to fulfill them is through absolute transparency. The insidious genius is how it makes resistance seem not just antisocial, but actively harmful. Who would choose secrecy if it means lying? Who would choose privacy if it means theft? The mysterious figure of Calden, who appears and disappears throughout the novel, represents the voice of conscience within the Circle. His true identity as Ty Gospodinov, the original founder who has been sidelined by his more ambitious partners, reveals the tragic irony at the heart of the Circle. Its creator now fears what he has built. Ty created TrueU with the idealistic goal of simplifying online identity and reducing internet harassment. His invention was meant to solve real problems, but in the hands of Bailey and Stenton, it became the foundation for something far more invasive. Ty's journey from visionary to whistleblower represents the unintended consequences of technology developed without fully considering its implications. His character embodies the growing discomfort among some tech pioneers in our real world who have begun questioning the systems they helped create. As called in, Ty attempts to warn May about the dangers of the Circle's completion, the moment when all human information and experience would be captured within its systems. His manifesto, The Rights of Humans in a Digital Age, articulates principles that directly counter the Circle's ideology. We must all have the right to anonymity, and the barrier between public and private must remain unbreachable. These principles sound radical within the context of the Circle, but would have been considered common sense just a generation earlier, showing how quickly norms around privacy can shift. Ty's failure to convince May represents the tragedy at the novel's core. Despite being the system's architect, he cannot dismantle what he has built once it gains momentum. His offer to escape with May, hiking Tibet, biking Mongolia, or sailing around the world, represents a return to authentic, unmediated experience that contrasts sharply with the Circle's digitized, broadcast-ready version of life. That May ultimately betrays him to Bailey and Stenton shows how completely she has internalized the Circle's values. The character of Ty/Calden serves as Egger's warning about the responsibility that comes with creating technology. Once released into the world, innovations can evolve beyond their creator's intentions, developing their own momentum that becomes nearly impossible to redirect. His regret comes too late to change the course of the system he helped build. A cautionary tale for real-world tech innovators. Throughout the novel, several characters serve as casualties of the Circle's expanding reach, demonstrating the human cost of unchecked technological intrusion. These characters, Mercer, Annie, and May's parents, represent different forms of resistance and ultimately different kinds of victims. Mercer, May's ex-boyfriend, is the novel's most vocal critic of the Circle. A craftsman who makes chandeliers from deer antlers, he represents an analog life disconnected from digital networks. His increasingly desperate letters to May articulates concerns about technology's impact on human connection. You people are creating a world of ever-present daylight, and I think it will burn us all alive. Mercer tries to escape the Circle's reach by moving to the woods, but the company's drones track him down in a publicity stunt orchestrated by May. His suicide, driving off a bridge while being pursued by drones, is the novel's most dramatic illustration of how the Circle's technologies can destroy those who resist them. Annie, May's college friend who initially helps her get hired at the Circle, represents a different kind of casualty. Initially one of the company's stars, Annie embraces the Circle's culture of transparency until it uncovers family secrets she wasn't prepared to face. The completion project that digitizes all historical records reveals her family's connections to Nazi collaborators, sending her into a spiral of anxiety and eventually a stress-induced coma. Annie's fate shows how even those who think they have nothing to hide can be destroyed by absolute transparency. May's parents initially welcome the Circle's technology when cameras installed in their home help monitor her father's multiple sclerosis. However, they soon find the constant surveillance intolerable and cover the cameras, leading to a painful estrangement from May. Their experience demonstrates how medical benefits of surveillance technology come with costs to dignity and intimacy that can't be quantified. These casualties reveal different aspects of what's lost in the Circle's vision of complete connection: autonomy, Mercer, psychological safety, and intimate privacy, May's parents. Together, they form a powerful argument that human flourishing requires spaces free from observation and documentation. Their stories suggest that resistance to technological intrusion isn't merely preference, but a necessary protection of something essential to humanity. The Circle's ultimate ambition is political: to remake democracy through mandatory transparency and participation. This transformation begins with Democcy, a sophisticated voting system requiring Circle accounts that eliminates the option not to vote. The platform tracks user engagement, monitors voting patterns, and creates detailed profiles of citizen participation. It advances with politicians going transparent by wearing cameras broadcasting 24/7, capturing everything from policy discussions to private conversations, bathroom breaks to family dinners. This culminates with the radical proposal that Circle accounts become mandatory for citizenship, including voting rights, effectively making the company a gatekeeper of civic participation. Bailey, the company's charismatic leader, frames this takeover in utopian terms, repeatedly invoking the mantra, "All that happens must be known," as not just a company motto, but a governing principle. The Circle promises to eliminate government corruption through constant monitoring, ensure responsive representation through real-time feedback systems, and create perfect accountability through comprehensive data collection. Who could argue with such noble goals? The company presents compelling cases of exposed corruption, prevented crimes, and increased efficiency in government services. Yet beneath this seductive rhetoric lies a fundamental redefinition of democracy that replaces citizen autonomy with constant surveillance, transforming privacy from a right into a form of suspicious behavior. The Circle's vision of democracy eliminates the private sphere entirely, marking a radical departure from centuries of democratic theory. Traditional democratic thought, from Aristotle to modern philosophers, has always recognized that healthy democracies require both public and private realms. Citizens need spaces to develop their thoughts and identities free from social pressure before bringing them to the public square. The Circle's model systematically eliminates this distinction, making all thoughts, actions, and relationships subject to public scrutiny and algorithmic analysis. This doesn't strengthen democracy, but transforms it into a sophisticated form of social control where conformity becomes the safest option and dissent becomes increasingly difficult to express. What makes this vision particularly insidious is how it co-opts democratic language while undermining democratic values. Transparency sounds like accountability, but becomes invasive surveillance of every aspect of life. Participation sounds like civic engagement, but becomes mandatory performance in a digital panopticon. Community sounds like meaningful connection, but becomes enforced conformity through social pressure and data-driven behavior modification. By the novel's end, the Circle has effectively created a system where democratic choice is reduced to selecting among options the company has pre-approved, while the fundamental choice, whether to participate in the system at all, has been eliminated through both legal mandate and social coercion. This political dimension of the novel feels increasingly prophetic as real-world tech companies expand their influence over democratic processes. From social media's algorithmic manipulation of information flows during elections, to digital identity systems that determine access to government services, to facial recognition systems deployed in public spaces, the line between technology companies and governance grows increasingly blurry. Companies now possess unprecedented capabilities to track, influence, and control citizen behavior. Eggers warns that this merger might not come through obvious authoritarianism, but through the seductive promise of a more perfect democracy, one that ultimately consumes the very freedom it claims to protect, creating a technocratic system of control masked as democratic participation. The Circle concludes with a deeply unsettling scene. May sitting beside the comatose Annie, finding it exasperating and an affront not to know her thoughts. May's resolution to discuss this problem with Circle leadership, convinced that the world deserved nothing less and would not wait, represents the ultimate perversion of privacy. This final moment brilliantly encapsulates the novel's central warning that the relentless demand for total information can become so deeply normalized that we begin to view even our private thoughts as rightfully public property, a transformation that occurs so gradually we barely notice its horror. The genius of Eggers' cautionary tale lies in its nuanced approach, deliberately avoiding simplistic technology phobia or Luddite fear-mongering. The Circle's technologies address genuine societal challenges. They dramatically reduce crime rates, revolutionize healthcare management, bridge global divides, and foster unprecedented levels of civic engagement. The company's leaders, particularly Eamon Bailey and Tom Stenton, aren't portrayed as malevolent conspirators, but as passionate idealists who genuinely believe their mission will improve humanity. Bailey's warmth and apparent sincerity, coupled with Stenton's ruthless efficiency, make the warning more powerful precisely because they embody the seductive appeal of technological utopianism. What the circle ultimately challenges us to consider isn't whether technology should be embraced, but rather what boundaries we must establish to preserve our humanity. The novel presents several crucial principles. Privacy isn't merely a selfish luxury, but a fundamental requirement for human development and authenticity. Not everything valuable in human experience can be reduced to metrics and data points. Convenience often demands the sacrifice of essential freedoms, and systems designed to eliminate all friction inevitably also eliminate meaningful choice and agency. The novel illustrates these principles through countless small moments. May's father struggling with his MS and privacy, Mercer's desperate attempt to live off-grid, and Annie's eventual breakdown under the weight of complete transparency. Perhaps most significantly, the novel warns against technological determinism, the dangerous assumption that innovation follows an inevitable path that humans must passively accept. Through characters like Ty/Calden, who represents the conscience of Silicon Valley, Eggers demonstrates that technology's trajectory is fundamentally shaped by human decisions and values. The question isn't about the inevitability of technological advancement, but rather about its direction and the ethical constraints we choose to impose. As we navigate our increasingly interconnected digital landscape, the circle compels us to critically examine the kind of digital society we're constructing. Will we embrace the circle's vision of absolute transparency and constant connection, or will we fight to preserve essential spaces for privacy, solitude, and unmediated human experience? While the novel doesn't provide explicit answers, it makes abundantly clear that the consequences of failing to address these questions extend beyond mere convenience or efficiency. They strike at the very core of what makes us human. In our current era, where social media platforms harvest our data, surveillance becomes increasingly normalized, and we willingly broadcast our lives online, Eggers' warning resonates with even greater urgency and relevance than when first published.